BBC Good Food Show Winter at the NEC. It is another phenomenally busy day. Lots of people coming in, having a great time, and of course, filling their shopping baskets. Now, hailed by The Observer as the golden girl of Persian cuisine, Sabrina Gyor has become the nation's go-to cook for Persian and Middle Eastern recipes, and I'm delighted she joins me in the studio. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, and thank you for making me feel young again with the golden girl reference. I'm not sure you can pull that off when you're 4 years away from 50, but no.
That was some accolade though, Sabrina, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a shock, actually. I try not to get let any of those things get to me too much, but I was just like, I felt this so much pressure when I was like, oh no, now I'm really gonna have to just be this poster child for Persian cookery. But yeah, thankfully it has paid off, and it's been just a lovely thing to add to my reputation, really.
You've got a number of fantastic cookbooks out there. In fact, we were just saying before we started our chat that one of your dishes is a staple in our household, which is superb. Well, interesting when you look at Middle Eastern cuisine from that part of the world, and I'm thinking perhaps of Yotam Ottolenghi, who's introduced a lot of the Jerusalem stuff, yep, cookbook that he's done. Yep. It seems that there is, and pardon the pun, a much greater appetite now for what used to be called exotic food.
Absolutely. And I'm, really relieved. And I've lived in England, you know, since the late 70s. So I've kind of been a firsthand witness to what we had versus what we have now. And also, you know, the great swathe of change in people's, appetite and sort of desire to try different things. I'm really happy now that sort of since my first book came out, I think between myself, Ottolenghi, Honey and Co, and some other sort of authors and chefs, it kind of really pushed this strong movement and dictated to the supermarkets, like, you're missing a trick if you're not selling these ingredients. And then they did the same year, 2014, started, you know, stocking up on pomegranate molasses and sumac and things that now just pretty much every day in supermarkets, which is, and that's the good news, because for someone like me to have these products not just as a one-off trial but actually be available at every supermarket now is a huge leap. It's not even a leap, it's like a rocket trip to the moon by comparison to a leap of achievement for the food of, you know, different countries, basically, to have those. And it just makes life so much easier when I write a recipe, because I know you can get this and it's not that exotic, for example.
Yeah. Do you think part of that change is that home cooks in Britain are more adventurous now?
I think home cooks in Britain are probably more adventurous because of people like Ken Hom and Madda Jaffrey. You know, we're talking about BBC in the 80s. Obviously Delia was part of that, but Delia was brilliant at introducing the odd exotic ingredient into our repertoire, but she was very, very British. And so having the spice of Madda Jaffrey and these, you know, things that for us are quite familiar as Brits because of the empire and whatnot, but having somebody kind of bring them to you in this really friendly way, and then also having Ken Hom sort of introduce really the wok revolution to this nation. You know, we never used to find ginger in a supermarket, barely garlic in a supermarket once upon a time. That's a long time ago. So I think these people are really what put that appetite there and made, you know, dishes like chicken chow mein or sweet and sour pork and, you know, tikka masala, put them where they are. As anglicized as they are, you know, we've taken what we think is Indian food and Chinese food into our hearts and we love it. So I don't think it was that much of a stretch for people when they realise what, you know, let's say my food was about. They're like, oh, well, I've already got turmeric, cumin and cinnamon in the cupboard. Thank you, Madda Jaffrey. So it wasn't that much of a stretch, but having a real education and understanding about what a kofta is, you know, what's the difference between Arab cuisine and their use of spicing versus Persian, that's still a vague grey area. But like, I don't need people to know. I don't feel this sort of great mission to educate the masses. I just want the masses to, you know, try new recipes that are simple, useful at home, and they find are tasty without, you know, spending lots of money. So I think that's what I found. I've wormed my way into that little box. I know what I am and what people need. And for me, that's box ticking on every level. And if it works for the end reader, then I'm, super happy.
There's an interesting link, isn't there, between food and understanding the culture of other countries as well. Once you get into, I mean, some of your recipes, they just ooze Persian, Iranian culture. You can yeah. eat them and close your eyes and you're there, like being back on holiday or whatever it might be. And that's a really fascinating link for people, isn't it? So, you know, you cook and then you learn a bit more about another culture.
I think it's also important, you know, I always say this, you know, I married my husband just last year, actually, and I have two stepsons, and, you know, they're Geordies, and, you know, they just simply weren't used to, they weren't sort of brought up with this food that I make at home. So they hated it at the beginning because it was just so alien to them. Now they love it. Like, they love spice and love all of these things. I don't need them to understand what's from where, but I think it's nice that they go, can we have that red rice and can we have that kebab and can we have this, and they don't know they're eating Turkish and Afghani and African and whatever, all kinds of different foods. But I think it's great that people feel that there's an air of exoticism about it. I think what I try and tread that line pretty carefully, because I don't want people to feel that it's too exotic for it, just a meal at home, because a kofta is a meatball, a burek is a pie, a tagine is a hot pot, you know what I mean? If I if I communicate it to people, they go, it is a pie and then they're like, you know, a lot more relaxed about it. And I think I'm that person. I like to fit in there and just be like, relax, it's super easy. This is home cooking, because you're actually making a pie. And they're like, oh yeah. They don't realize it, because it's like tagine, or if I say like batinjan al-rahib, which is an Arabic name for an aubergine dish, I'll be like, it's just an aubergine dish, it's like an aubergine dip. And they're like, oh, okay. But of course, sometimes when you haven't tried something, like, you know, when I remember a panic call to a friend of mine 20 years ago, and I was like, Den, I don't know how to make roast potatoes. And she's like, are you joking? And I was like, I mean, I grew up in a Persian household. I've never made them before. And she's like, it's really easy. But because I'd never made them before, I was nervous. I heard you have to shake the pan and some people do this and some people do that. Now, obviously,
roast potatoes are the biggest divider among professional chefs, cooks, home cooks. You ask, how do you do it? Everybody has a little twist somewhere and they guarantee that theirs are the best. It's a minefield, an absolute minefield. I do wonder, going back the other way, how many people are sitting in Iran, for example, having beans on toast?
None. that wouldn't be a meal.
No, but what does that say about British cuisine abroad?
Well, I don't think, of course they will know what beans is, but, you know, my mum, you know, ketchup and even sausages and bacon and things like that before the Islamic Revolution, you know, were a given. Like, she celebrated Christmas when she was a kid. I was like, really? You know, when I first learned that, she's like, yeah, we had everything. You know, I went to an American school, I met your dad in a bowling alley. It was kind of more like the Californian dream than, but, you know, they have a lot of everything. They have every trend, everything, but nowhere would it be just beans on toast. I think if they were serving beans, it's not that they wouldn't, but there would be like 19 other dishes on the table as well, because that does not quantify a meal. You know, that's about economy. It's about wartime. You have to think about why beans have become the staple that they are. This was about food that could be transported, that was long life and would fill a belly. That's why it's popular. So Persians, for example, wouldn't even contemplate not having meat on the table. Like, it's just, it's not a thing. Like, you know, where's the meat? You know, they'd be horrified. Much like kind of traditional English folk as well. A lot of traditional English folk are the same. I think it's a cultural, many cultures. So we just eat differently. But, you know, let's say if we are here in Britain, for example, really, you know, hypothesizing, but like, if we are meat and potatoes, they are meat and rice. Very simple. So it's similar, but just slightly
protein
different.
And a carbohydrate.
Yeah, we don't like spice. We don't like too much garlic. We don't really use garlic. So we are very much the simpler end of the Middle Eastern sort of cuisine spectrum.
BBC Good Food Show Winter is a great place to come to watch experts like you cook. And I know you've been on stage already and lots of people have been taking photographs and videoing and things. Because you, in the show guide, is one of your recipes as well, which I can highly recommend, is the venison meatballs and mushroom stroganoff.
Yes.
Just talk me through that, because that I'm salivating already.
So basically, Iran and Russia are quite close proximity to each other. My grandmother was actually quarter Russian, because over the Caspian Sea, there's Russia. And so we have some influences. We have pirozhki, which is essentially a pie. It's a hand pie it's like a donut bread, almost like a doughy bread. And then on the inside, it's filled with sometimes meat and other fillings. And then we have salad olivier, which is one of our famous Persian salads, but it's actually Russian, potato salad with chicken and peas and pickles and onion and whatnot. It's yummy. And then stroganoff, even though we don't sort of make that as a Persian dish, my mum grew up in Iran. She was like, yeah, we used to have stroganoff a lot. And she's like, but I don't know what it is with the Brits and serving it with rice. You only ever had stroganoff with matchstick thin chips.
Ah,
because the Russians serve it with potatoes.
Right.
So it's usually mash or thin chips. Quite frankly, I think the buttered noodles thing is from the French. And I think also the rice might be from the French. I mean, whatever you do with it, it's really good. And I just do a really simple one, but I use, because from a perspective of economy and also a perspective of I now have 5 people in the house to feed, I make meatballs because I know the meatballs kids love the meatballs. And also they're very forgiving because they don't overcook, like in the way like a quick steak would.
Yeah.
And mushrooms and just paprika, cream, simple. No mustard, no wine, no brandy, none of the fancy bells and whistles. And it's just quick to come together, and you can bung some oven chips in there or just have some mash. It's yummy. Very indulgent, just perfect for this time of year, but, you know, not too spendy.
The BBC Good Food Show is also a great place to meet artisan producers, people who've poured their heart and soul into bringing new products. And, you know, you look at the charcuterie. British charcuterie is fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah,
it really
is.
Cheese is a good
really
and things
is.
Like that. And I was talking to people yesterday, and they are spoiling themselves. They're coming here for some treats for Christmas. They're very clearly looking forward to that, which is fantastic. At the same time, there's a watchful eye on the cost of food economy. Mm-hmm. You've already alluded to it, you know, stretching as much as you can out of the products you've got. What are your top tips for this coming season, Sabrina, where people can perhaps buy differently, cook differently, mm-hmm. use leftovers differently maybe?
Yeah. So actually, interesting you say that. Just last week, I did a post on my Instagram because, you know, showing recipe videos and ideas is very popular now on Instagram. In fact, it's the only thing that on Instagram now. I did a video using a cut of turkey that I would never have traditionally looked at, you know, unless it was attached to the bird, turkey leg. Mm. So turkey leg is anywhere from £3 to £4 in a supermarket. A turkey starts from £80 in a lot of cases. And not to knock beautiful turkey farming, but also there are some issues right now with finding turkeys because there are sort of, you know, culls and whatnot happening. But if you cannot afford a turkey or you cannot justify a turkey, where does that put you? So get a turkey leg. I put a recipe on there. It's super, super easy. And then I thought from the perspective of economy, roast 2 turkey legs. And then the next day, pull the other one. And then I had another recipe that I'm going to post to make a Moroccan bastilla, which just uses shredded turkey leg and then whatever chopped nuts and dried fruits that you've got knocking around and some boiled eggs in phyllo pastry, bung it in the oven. That's one tip, is to try a different cut. The second tip is, why not switch from turkey to chicken? Because the economy is totally different. And the other thing is, if you are going to buy a turkey, buy a bigger turkey than you would, which is a fraction more in price. And it's often the smaller turkeys that get bought first. Buy a bigger turkey and then plan the meals. Plan a night of sandwiches, plan a Moroccan bastilla, a turkey tikka masala, whatever, turkey mushroom pie, whatever floats your boat. Really use the bird and pick it off, and all your leftover veg can go into one of those pies, specifically the bastilla, which is just a Moroccan phyllo pastry pie with like whatever goodness thrown in. It's those kind of things, because I think people are worried about oven, how long you have something and how long the oven is going to be on.
Of cooking, absolutely.
100%. But, you know, I just don't think that we need to be a lot more understanding this year and not judgmental with people more than ever before about whether it's right for them to, whether it suits them to have a turkey. So don't feel like ashamed. You know, there have been many years that I've just had chicken because it was my mother and I, or my mother and my grandmother and I, or two or three chickens because the kids like it, quite frankly. So yeah,
good advice.
Chop and change. Chop and change.
So what's Christmas like in your household? What are you going to be looking forward to this year?
The day after. The day after.
You have to cook, I presume, do you?
I mean, I have to cook every day. And you'd think, oh, she's a chef for work. And so she just kind of gives up. But no, there's no such joy, unfortunately. I have to cook three meals a day, especially around Christmas. And I kind of think that that's what it's about. It's not really about me, really. It's about the kids. So I want to make sure that the kids have all they need and lots of treats. But I keep thinking, oh, this will be the Christmas that I relax. I mean, it never is. Unless I really want to eat utter junk. And I don't want to eat utter junk or feed my family rubbish food. I want them to have like nice, even if it's just simple home-cooked meals, because I think that that's really what they deserve. And I really genuinely want to eat well. And look after myself a little bit. So
the rise of the slow cooker has been the story this year, hasn't it? And tray bakes and slow cookers.
Yeah. So I am a bit of a tray bake queen, but I don't have a slow cooker and I don't have an air fryer yet because I couldn't think where on earth I'd put it in my kitchen.
Put it on your list to Santa.
I mean, I don't know where I'd put it, though. That's the problem. Like, you open the linen cupboard in the hallway and you're smacked in the head by a waffle iron, a toaster, another, you know, it's ridiculous.
You can never have too many kitchen gadgets, though.
The problem
you?
Is my kitchen is my office. So if you saw it, there's like a 5-jar deep, all the walls have got like 5-jar deep of just nonsense and sauces. And like people come in the kitchen and go, oh, my God. I'm like, it's my office. And they're like, oh, okay, fair play. Like, open the cupboard, you know, get concussed by a jar of chutney. You know, that's kind of quite standard. I just couldn't, where would I put it? But I am kind of tempted by the air fryer.
They're excellent bits of kit. I've had one for a while.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, they're still a bit spendy, I'll be honest.
An investment. So, see it as an investment.
I just have to find out where it's beneficial for me. You know what I mean? I think if you're going to buy a kit, don't just listen to people. Find out what it does. Find out if the kit is good for you and find out where it saves on, let's say, power or fat or whatever your agenda is. And then, you know, look into what you're buying is my point, and kind of shop around.
Maybe when we hopefully catch up, perhaps at BBC Good Food Show summer next year, if tickets are available already, you'll be bringing out your air fryer cookbook.
No, that'll never happen. No, never happen. Never eradicate big swathes of audience. I think there are quite a few of them out already. So, and they are great. They're kind of more like a manual, really, because you do need to understand how to get the best out of it. So,
it's been an absolute pleasure to catch up with you, as always. Enjoy the rest of the show and have a great Christmas. And if you find the time, get somebody else to, at least get them to do the washing up if the family doesn't.
Oh, they do that already. Oh, don't you worry. I've got that one on tick. Thank you.